On Monday's front page, traffic in cities. In Europe, officials are trying to make driving in cities miserable enough that drivers will switch to more environmentally friendly forms of getting around. In Yemen, roving Islamist gangs are on the loose in the southern port city of Aden. Some Yemenis say that's exactly what President Ali Abdullah Saleh wants. And the Obama administration's plan for finding out just how difficult it is to get a doctor's appointment. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story looks at traffic in cities. American cities are synchronizing green lights to improve traffic flow. They're also offering apps to help drivers find parking places. Many European cities are doing the opposite. Cities from Vienna to Munich to Copenhagen have closed streets to traffic. Barcelona and Paris have had car lanes cut back by bike-sharing programs, and dozens of German cities have joined a national network of environmental zones. They only let in cars with low carbon dioxide emissions. Times reporter Elizabeth Rosenthal says the goal is to make using cars expensive and difficult. Officials hope the higher costs and the hassles will make drivers choose environmentally friendlier forms of transportation. In Yemen, the southern port city of Aden is now virtually surrounded by roving gangs of Islamist militia fighters. Some of them are linked to Al-Qaeda. The government is still busy fighting unarmed protesters in the northern part of the country. It's done little to stop the jihadists. Some Yemenis believe President Ali Abdullah Saleh intended it all to happen. For years, his government has been brutal to southern Yemen. It's not clear now whether the government is encouraging the jihadists or just tolerating them. But Times reporter Robert Worth says there is a long history of backdoor collusion between Al-Qaeda and Yemen's security agencies. Monday's Times looks at new doubts about natural gas drilling. Emails from inside the Federal Energy Department say companies that are betting on getting gas from underground shale are setting themselves up for failure. Some officials worry that gas drilling could go the way of the housing and technology bubbles that ended in a bust. Some of the emails say estimates may overstate how much gas can be drilled out. This comes as industry insiders are warning that gas may not be as easy to extract as gas companies have been saying. Also on Monday's page one, the Obama administration is recruiting mystery shoppers who will pose as patients and call doctors' offices. Officials are alarmed that there seems to be a shortage of primary care doctors. The mystery shoppers will see just how difficult it is to get in to see a physician. They'll also try to find out whether doctors are accepting patients with private insurance and turning away people in government health programs that have lower reimbursement rates. New York's approval of same-sex marriage is adding momentum to the push to legalize gay weddings around the country. But Monday's Times says what happened in New York could prove difficult to copy. That's because 29 states ban gay marriage in their state constitutions. Several gay rights groups are now looking to Maryland and Rhode Island. In Maryland, Democratic leaders tabled the same-sex marriage bill back in February because they weren't sure it would pass. In Rhode Island, a gay marriage bill died in the legislature. Monday's Times says New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg's number one policy tool is the pilot program. Pilot programs don't have to go through the usual process for review because they're only supposed to be short-term experiments. Supporters say it's an innovative way around red tape. Critics say it's minimizing the public's role in keeping an eye on government. City Hall used pilot projects to put pedestrian plazas and bike lanes on major streets. The plazas and the bike lanes now seem all but permanent. Inside Monday's Times, new laws in several states are restricting later-term abortions. Those states are banning abortions after the 20th week of pregnancy, based on the notion that a fetus can feel pain at that point. That's disputed by mainstream medical organizations in this country and in Britain, but this month Alabama passed a 20-week limit. It was following the lead of Nebraska and four other states. Iowa's now considering it. Genentech wants the FDA to keep the drug Avastin available as a treatment for breast cancer. Genentech wants to do one more study in an attempt to prove Avastin works. Genentech is appealing a decision the FDA made back in December. This will be the first time the FDA has held a hearing on whether to rescind marketing permission for a drug that was given accelerated approval. Television producer Mark Burnett more or less created the reality programming business with Survivor. That was 11 years ago. Now he's back at the top of the ratings with The Voice on NBC. Times reporter Bill Carter says it's the most talked about hit of the season, but Burnett is also behind a new show on ABC called Eco Challenge. Last week, it too won its time period. Here's a question. What would Facebook look like without the photos of drunken partygoers on vacation? Reporter Vern Kopytoff has one answer. He says it might look like the in-house social networks that corporations are setting up for employees. They're supposed to be strictly business. The camera maker Nikon has a code of conduct that rules out a lot of what you find on Facebook. Another issue is how to make sure corporate secrets stay safe. Monday's arts section says the producer of the lifestyle advice show My Generation is happy when the average age of the audience is over 50. That's old for most TV programs, but this one is produced by AARP. My Generation was nominated for a Daytime Emmy. It lost to The Martha Stewart Show, but AARP says it was thrilled just to be nominated. The show is staking out an audience that's off the spectrum of 18 to 34-year-olds that advertisers and producers usually go for. But TV industry analyst Jack McKenzie says people over 50 watch more TV than anybody. Members of the Monty Python group are getting together for an unusual project. They're doing the voices for a 3D animated version of something called A Liar's Autobiography. That's the absurdist memoir of Python actor Graham Chapman. He died in 1989. A dozen or so animation companies are working on the 85-minute movie. Terry Jones, who was one of the original Pythons, says Chapman's book was deliberately fanciful. He insists nothing in it was true. But maybe he's only joking. That's our preview of Monday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. You can send your comments about the Front Page Podcast to podcasts@nytimes.com. That's podcasts with an S on the end at nytimes.com. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.